Good evening. It's 6:18, and I would like to call the meeting of the Streets Committee to order. In attendance this evening is myself, Mark Frye, as chair. Committee members, Councilman Doug Hanum, Councilman Jason Mishka, President of Council Mary Westfall. Also in attendance are members of Council Sandy Hussman, Mark Lukey, and Katie Capellini. Mayor Stow is also in attendance, Leslie Browning, the Law Director, Mr. Sanford, Mr. Aller, and Chief Rodas are also in attendance. There's nobody in the audience at this particular point in time. The item in front of us this evening that we wanted to discuss was the potential increase or modification of the City of Sylvania's section of King Road that is inside the city limits, and potentially modifying the speed limits as part of a request from the Ohio Department of Transportation. Is that right, Mr. Aller? And
yes.
I will, I will move meeting and give Mr. Aller the floor to describe what is going on and what is being considered here.
Thank you, Mr. Frye. The information that I've just passed out to you on the front page is we're starting from the southern edge of the city and then heading north. It's just in the New West, on the east side of King Road in the area of New West Drive is where the city boundary starts. And then when you get up almost to Cougar Lane and Sylvan Town Drive there, then we're on in the city on both sides of the road for a short distance. And then we continue in the city on the west side, but the east side is in the township. And then we kind of break, and if you go to the back of that first page, once you get beyond Kingston, the Kingston residents there on King, once you get beyond that, then you're back into the township until you get more to the northern end of King Road, up towards Bruin Road. And then we jump back in again where it's city on the west side for a short distance and township on the east, and then the most northern part of Bruin and King, that both sides are in the city again. The county engineer has been taking a look at King Road for some time and finally moved forward with a speed study that they could submit to the Ohio Department of Transportation. Any roadways in the county and township areas has to be, any speed limit adjustments have to be done by ODOT. County engineer and township trustees cannot do that, only ODOT can. So they did the speed study and have submitted it to the Ohio Department of Transportation and got a response back. ODOT's recommendation is to modify the speed limit on King Road from Angola Road to Brent Road. They're recommending a 45 mile per hour speed limit that entire distance. I had talked with the county engineer previously and indicated that we would be receptive. They obviously, I think the city's had this before prior to my arrival, but it's confusing to drivers when you have different speed limits on different sides of the roads. And I think at least on Sylvania Avenue, this was done once before where township was at 45, we were at 35, and agreement was made to make everything 40. And they didn't want to create the same situation here where they modified the speed limit in the township, but then in the city areas it was 35, and you create that confusion all over again. So when ODOT came back and said that recommended a speed limit of 45, my response to the county engineer was, I'm okay going to council with an increase to 40. I will not support an increase to 45. I just thought that was too much of a difference there. They have since gone back. What they plan to do is submit a request that they will change it from 45, or to 45, I'm sorry, from Angola Road to the University Trail, and then from the area University Trail north to Brent Road, it would be 40. They're asking us to approve a 40 mile per hour, so that again, that all of the areas are uniform in that section.
Kevin, does that include the stub north of Brent?
No, the stub north of Brent will remain at 35.
Okay.
There's a lot of data in the second page there. I gave you the, it's kind of a summary sheet to show you how they come to the recommendation of the requested speed limit. There's a lot of data that goes behind that. I didn't make copies of it. It's available if anybody wants to see it, but there are a lot of things that go into that. Existing development, roadway types, the existing speed of the existing traffic and things of that nature. So, you know, all of that's available if anybody is interested, but it's a lot of data, and so I can make copies of that. As indicated through the conversation with the county engineer, you know, I'm comfortable. There's obviously concerns whenever you raise a speed limit. You know, you have the potential for traffic to be moving faster. There are several studies and data that shows that an increase or decrease in speed limit doesn't really necessarily affect the traffic speed too much. Going back to the example that I gave a little bit ago, Salina Avenue, when that was changed, the speed limit was changed by, you know, 5 miles per hour. The average and the 85th percentile speed only changed by 2 miles per hour. And it's, you know, and it's, there's study after study done on this, and they consistently show that. Traffic tends to travel what is safe and reasonable. If they feel comfortable driving a certain speed, the traffic will travel at that speed. Now, obviously, speed limits are a factor. They control how crazy some of your outliers get. But for the most part, the condition of the road, what is around the road, how many side streets are there, how many driveways are there, things of that nature control the speed. So I personally would be comfortable with the 40. I would not have supported the 45. But I think for the short distances, at the north end, you know, we're coming to an intersection, so we're going to have traffic either accelerating out of there or decelerating into the intersection. So I think it's, you know, I don't know that the speed limit is going to be a factor regardless. In
well, we have
that
a
area.
Circle there now, too.
We have a roundabout, yeah.
So Mr. Aller, coming into that roundabout going north on King, the people will naturally be starting to slow down at that point, presumably, correct? And then obviously also at the light on Sylvania to the extent that it's not green, correct?
Correct. And we'll have the addition of the right turn lane that will be an added enhancement here, because now the only traffic that you'll have in that straight through lane is the straight through lane traffic. The right turn will be off.
Would this speed limit modification coincide with the construction of that right-hand turn lane, or would there be a differential in the time of that?
Probably be a differential in the time frame of that, and I'm not exactly sure of the time frame because the county engineer still needs to get everything cleared and approved by ODOT. So I'm not exactly sure on the time frame, but I would imagine that would probably be ahead of the construction of the right turn lane.
Two other questions to the extent that you know the answers. One of the things that pops in my mind when I think about raising the speed limit isn't just the speed that people are traveling at, it's the tendency or the history of accidents on that particular stretch of road. Do we have any sense of what those have been and what, if any, studies are done, that raising the speed limit causes more traffic accidents.
Again, we do have it as an indication, it's part of, it's one of the criteria that's looked at in the speed limit study. So that was part of the, included as a criteria to be considered in the study. The studies, again, repeatedly show that there's no increase. Sylvania Avenue, I'll use it as an example. There was no increase in the number of accidents in that area. So, and that's historically the case.
And one other question. Do we know, because some of this is in the city and some of this isn't, the number of developments or traffic, additional things that are going in there that would require connections and moving in and out of King Road that would potentially affect the ingress and egress in the future? Because I know that there's a large piece of property for sale on the northeast corner of Sylvania and King. And I know that's not in the city, but do we have any sense of what is being planned in the future in those areas?
That particular corner, we're not sure what's happening there. The land's for sale, as you indicated, but nothing concrete has come forward. We do know just to the north of the Kingston residence where the old Larberger landscape place used to be, we do know that there is a subdivision going into that area that will be annexed, that will be part of the city. And beyond that, really that corner piece and this piece with Larberger, that's really about all there is that's undeveloped in that area.
So there won't be a substantial amount of incremental traffic coming from that development relative to the size of the street we're talking about?
No.
Okay.
No.
Any other questions from...
Just a point of clarification to make sure I understood this correct. You indicated that the plan is, and the recommendation will be, in the township, essentially, area from University of Toledo Trail to Angola, it will be 45, but it will change to 40 then?
Correct.
At that point, and then all the way up to Brent, it would be 40.
Correct.
Am I understanding that correct?
Yes.
So help me understand one more thing. What did you say the speed limit would be at on Brent? It says 45 on here, but I thought you said 35. I'm just curious.
That is another situation where we have two different speed limits.
Oh.
Yeah. The township side is 45. The city side is 35. Now, probably that is one that's on the radar of the county engineer.
So would the county engineer have a recommendation or some ability to make it contribute to a decision on that?
Once their study, if they conduct a study and then see what the data comes back, what the suggestion is, then we will see at that time if we, come back to you with a change on that one.
Couldn't we just make it 40?
Yeah.
if they could, they probably would. But they have to do the study, they have to submit it to ODOT, ODOT has to agree with it, and then it comes back to them. So, I do want to add that I think it's important to do this, again, so that we have continuity. The different speed limits on each side of the road is difficult, it's confusing, and it's looked at by some people as a speed trap, especially on the city side since we're a little lower. But as, if and when the city boundaries continue to extend to where we own a share of the whole section on both sides of King Road, then we'll take a look at revising that and matching what our ordinance says as far as street speeds and things like that. We'll take a look at going back to the 35. But at that point, it's easier because you're coming in, and it doesn't matter if you're heading out or coming in, you're in the city. So both sides are the same. But until we reach that point, I think it's better to coordinate with them.
Mr. Whitby.
Yeah, Kevin, again, this is a process question. You may have addressed it earlier. I may not have been paying attention. But I believe you said that the state indicated a 45-mile-an-hour limit, is that right?
Yes.
Is that a non-binding recommendation? Because it sounds, I mean, clearly we're not following their recommendation, so there's nothing legally requiring us to follow their directive.
That's correct. And actually, the city, we can make the speed limit whatever we want to make it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just in the county and town, they ODOT has to approve.
Okay, so from a state and local law standpoint, we're not in violation if we go ahead and do this. Okay.
And I would say for some reason ODOT doesn't approve the recommendation by the county engineer, then I'll be back before you to with the recommendation on how we proceed for that. I would not support an increase to 45. I think that's in the southern part of King Road, down where I live in Springfield Township, I think that makes sense. But in this northern part, I think that's too high.
Mr. Fry, I don't have a question, but I do have a couple of comments. I'm a little bit hesitant to support an increase on it, mostly because that's an area that's highly traveled by cyclists. You know, Brent Road is kind of the main way in and out of the area, mostly because Sylvania Avenue's not a good way to go because of the quarries. There's lots of debris as you head west, so people go down Brent. Because they go down Brent, or even through Brent, there's a tendency for people to, even though it says there's a 7-foot shoulder, from experience, there's a tendency to ride as close to the white line as possible because there's less debris there, right? There's less chance of picking something up in your tire or having, you know, something get picked up from the road. The other problem with increasing the speed limit isn't necessarily as you're going with traffic, but it's crossing traffic. So if you're going south on Brent, for example, and you're going to make a cross to go into a neighborhood, and you have to navigate through traffic, it's hard to do that. So if the speed increases, then your time to do that is lessened as well. Brent and King is an area that's kind of I'm really sensitive about that area because a friend of mine got hit there 5 or 6 years ago, and he was paralyzed from his neck down. Just trying to make a left-hand corner going south. And again, I don't know if that was a speed thing or if that had to do with that particular evening. There was some glare from the sun that evening. But, you know, I'm just sensitive about the increasing the speed limits on those roadways, especially through the area. You know, I know that King is an area where there's regular clubs that meet at Southview during the week at the parking garage, and they'll go down King to Brent, and they'll return the same way. So, you know, totally, you know, 45 degrees would be, a, like you said, a big increase. 40 is still an increase, but it's an increase nonetheless. So just something to consider as we look at this.
Okay. A couple follow-up questions based on Mr. Mishka's comments. If we said no, what if any, obviously we can, what if any ramifications or blowback would we potentially get from ODOT and or the county engineer's office that would negatively impact the city, if at all?
I don't believe there would be any repercussions, if you will, from either organization. You know, I think they both understand that it's a city decision, you know, we have the ability to do as we see fit for our constituents. If the county engineer would proceed with their change to 40, which I would anticipate, then we would have the different speed limits on each side of the road.
So effectively, one of Mr. Mishka's concerns is crossing the road. Since part of the road is in the city and part of the road is in the township, if the township changed theirs to 40, it wouldn't really matter because, well, basically you've got 40 on the one side of the street and 35 on the other.
It would depend on where you happen to be.
Right, whether the traffic's flowing north or south and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I think it matters to the extent that people actually follow the rules, right? So, I mean, if they're going over a few mile an hour, which they're going to do naturally, that's always the case, right? And I think that what I mean by that is it really matters when, if a person's judging the speed of a vehicle coming at them, then if they're going, you know, they could still go any speed that they want to, if the speed limit's higher, then they have to judge that still, right?
If I read this correctly, though,
they're already going over 40 anyways.
They're driving 47 now.
Yeah, so if you increase it by a few, are they going to drive 52?
No, data doesn't show that.
Okay.
Again, I'll go back to something that happens in local. There are studies after study that show this, but just locally, on Sylvania Avenue, when that was changed, the average and 85th percentile speed is only increased, because actually less than 2 miles per hour, like 1.8 miles per hour, is what the average and 85th percentile speeds increased when the speed limit was adjusted from 35 to 40.
I'll just say,
people don't jump. They were driving, they were comfortable at what they were driving before the speed limit changed, and they're comfortable at that speed today. This is basically what it amounts to.
Yeah, I drive this regularly. I had no idea what the speed limit was. I ride my bike pretty regularly. I would say I would say 150 times this year from on this stretch of King Road to the bike trail. If there's one thing that, and I've never been concerned with the speed of the traffic, I would love to have the bike lane clearer. I'd love to send out the street sweepers on there in the bike riding months once a month to clean those off. But so I'm not, and I like the idea, frankly, of cooperating with the county where we can to make these issues go away. I think they're a problem, and they reflect poorly on everybody involved when we have those different speed limits. I think if we can cooperate and come up with a single speed, I'm comfortable with that. I'm comfortable supporting this.
Do we have any other questions for Mr. Aller? Or,
Kevin, I've got one. In the past, I've made calls to the county engineer's office to get out and get that debris off of the edge of the highway, and they've sent a street sweeper out in the past. I haven't made one of those calls probably for 5 years because I haven't had anybody bring it up, but I've got two city councilmen pointing it out to me. Maybe we ought to give them a call and ask them when we get into better weather to get out there and prune that off. They've done it in the past for us, and there's no reason why we can't ask them to do it again.
Okay.
I just ask one quick question to Jason's point, and also it's probably in your study. I wonder if there's going to be kids on bikes going to the library. Did they consider the whole library picture traffic and what that looks like with the increase in speed?
They knew that there was a development. Now, it's obviously not included in their current traffic counts, but they did include that as a developed site. So they didn't count that as an empty site. They counted it as a developed site, knowing that the library was coming. So it is factored into the study. What the traffic, how that's going to affect the traffic count and things of that nature. They're not able to put things like that into the study because it's an unknown. But they did include it as a developed site.
I was just thinking it might add more bikes to it too. Kids on bikes going to the library.
But there isn't a plan for a sidewalk as far as we know. Is there for the library?
Yes, there is.
Along the frontage in the city.
Yeah.
The question is a sidewalk going over to Southview High School. And the township and the county are not cooperating to get that sidewalk put on the south side of Sylvania. And they're proposing what I think is a poor idea, running it north of the bus garage, which is an unsafe position to put a lot of those school kids in, and unsafe for the buses as well. And I'm trying, through Kevin and directly, trying to scuttle that option, which I don't think is well thought out. Sorry, Mark.
It's the first time I heard your comments about that, and I was just a little surprised.
I've had
approached to people and tried to put words in my mouth that I thought was a good idea, and I'm just straightening it out that I would hate to be trying to explain why some freshman girl going to the library got cornered with senior boys out there smoking during school and couldn't get out because there was a chain link fence on each side of her for 300 feet. That doesn't make sense. And oh, by the way, you better make sure that all the stones are picked up because there's going to be a contest to see how many windows you can break on the buses out there when you're smoking your cigarette. That one just doesn't make sense to me.
Apparently, we don't share the same perspective on student behavior.
But you're talking about...
And we try to avoid situations to entice the kids to do the wrong thing.
Where? Here?
Why not have a public right-of-way street sidewalk?
Is that what the mayor's talking about, north of the bus garage?
Yeah.
Mr. Mayor, are you talking...
Yeah.
At the edge of the township?
Yep.
What a dumb idea that is.
What are you saying?
You're talking about a sidewalk directly from the school to the library, through that, okay.
Well, you have a roadway that goes directly from the high school to the...
That's right. The library agrees that that's the place to do it.
Are there any other questions of Mr. Aller? Mr. Aller, what is the request or the order of business that the Streets Committee needs to consider? Do we need to have a motion to take it to council tonight to approve this? What is the mechanics of this? Okay, fair enough. Mrs. Bryant.
Thanks, Mr. Frye. What we would need is just a motion from the Streets Committee to authorize legislation be prepared, and then at the report of the Streets Committee, you can make that report. So we just need a motion to authorize legislation be prepared to increase the speed limit.
Okay, thank you.
That will come to the next meeting?
Yes.
Right, okay. So do I, from members of the Streets Committee, do I have a motion to have legislation prepared?
It's me, you, you?
Jason, you, Mary, and myself.
Well, I would move that we order legislation.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Thank you very much. And it is...
Okay, when we scheduled this meeting, I said I had another streets issue, and since we don't have anyone here for the public hearing, I don't feel compelled to start a public hearing directly on time.
Fair enough.
And our public notice is good if we start a little late. So the issue that... that I wanted to talk about is a problem that I encounter campaigning, which I guess is proof it's good to get out there and campaign every few years. But I encountered a couple of neighbors who accosted is maybe a little strong, but who definitely challenged me on our city's maintenance of cul-de-sacs and traffic islands in the neighborhoods. For those of you who know me, I left my handy dandy briefcase in my office, so I forget the names of the streets. Mark, I know I mentioned two to you over on the east side, and I can't remember the street names off the top of my head.
It's long gone, Doug. Sorry.
And I know I talked to Kevin about this, and I think that, and when I know a lot of homeowners associations agree to have responsibility for those. However, we have a number of them where nobody has a clear responsibility for those. And it seems to me that we ought to have a consistent approach to how we deal with cul-de-sacs and these, you know, they're islands. I call them islands. They're islands in the middle of the street, and they kind of expand the street so they can get an extra lot on a corner. And they leave the island in the middle. Being cognizant that we don't have a lot of extra money, I don't want to propose that we take on the responsibility of beautifying all the cul-de-sacs and islands in the city. But what I would like to do is develop a process where we either A, identify someone to take care of them, where it's a homeowners association, identify who that is. If it's a group of neighbors who live around the island or live around the cul-de-sac, I would like to create a systematic way to empower and obligate them to take care of those cul-de-sacs through easements or some other legally enforceable method. And I think we ought to adopt some minimal standards for maintaining those so people know what to expect. And if we don't, and if we have, and if in the past we have approved these these islands or cul-de-sacs, and we don't have anyone who we can assign to take care of them, I think we ought to develop a standardized, low-cost, low-maintenance mechanism to address them, such as clearing them of vegetation and putting rock, some sort of rock or gravel that will not cost us a lot of money to maintain over an extended period. What I saw out there was I saw a number of these that are overgrown, some that are just nothing but a mass of weeds, others that were pretty nicely maintained, probably by a neighbor who took that on. But I think if we address it proactively, I think number one, we can eliminate the neighbor who was the couple of neighbors that talked to me about what a lousy job we were doing of taking care of the cul-de-sac when we never agreed to take care of the cul-de-sac and never recognized an obligation to do it. And number two, give our neighbors an opportunity where they want to do something more in those. But if they don't want to, we can be very clear about how we're going to address them, because we don't have the resources to plant flowers and trees and do all those sorts of things. So I think I've talked to a couple of you about this, and what I would what I don't know is how many of these there are. I don't know if there's a lot of them or if it's only a few. I'd like to know how many there are, and also at love to have the administration think about this and come back with maybe a more comprehensive proposal.
Okay. As far as how many there are approximately 70 cul-de-sacs and islands throughout the city. Could be 68, could be 72, but that's yep. It's right around 70. Most of them are we are not involved in. There are a few that we have had to, because of the condition, as you said, we've had to go in and clean them up. And we clean them up enough to be palatable.
Right.
We do not have the resources or manpower to be able to fully maintain them.
Yeah, I didn't think we would. I wouldn't expect that we would. What I think we owe our neighbors is a clear indication of what we're prepared to do, as opposed to, so that we have for ourselves a standard of how we're going to do that. I mean, we spend money in downtown beautifying it. We water flowers. We do all that kind of thing. And we can't do that for these 70 cul-de-sacs. It just isn't, that's not practical and it's not reasonable. And where we have homeowners associations that have taken on those responsibilities, maybe they're actually, in some instances, I think they're actually written into the, the deed restrictions that go with the property. The problem is the ones where we approved plats, and I know I didn't do it, but we approved plats that have these without specifying how we were going to take care, how they were going to be addressed. And those are the ones I think I think it's good government for us to address those. Again, have some standards, let people know what our expectations are, and then help them implement them. And that will make, I think it'll make our community look better in the long run. And more importantly, it'll allow us to treat all our neighbors fairly.
Mr. Aller, do we have specific standards that are currently in place for the administration when we have a situation where the subdivision isn't maintaining the island or islands, or is that kind of catch as catch can.
Yeah, catch can. And it comes down to, in some areas we'll get phone calls regarding it, and, you know, we know that there are a couple neighbors that will take care of it or something like that. We have one area where it's an extremely, the residents along that cul-de-sac are just up there in years, every one of them, and they just don't have the physical ability to do it. And so we're aware of it, and we just kind of keep an eye on it and then take care of it if need be. So there is no set policy. There is no, we've done zero planning. It's just been, for the most part, we control and keeping things locked down. But there's nothing like that in place right now. The greater majority of them are cared for.
Right.
If we can identify which ones are the problems, and you found two apparently, Doug, up there on the northeast side, right, we could consider adding them to our contract mowers so they get taken care of on a regular basis. We do have a few places around town where we go out and we cut the grass once a month or something like that through the contract mowing arrangement, and that's one possible way to address it. It isn't going to be nice enough for a lot of the neighborhoods, but it'll keep down the unsightly things that you were describing.
Yeah, this one, these had, you know, overgrown old shrubs. You know, just mowing
them. Well, we can go out on a one-time basis and take care of that and then just mow them down.
Yeah.
That's a pretty basic way to handle it.
Yeah, and some of them are, it depends on if that one person moves out of the neighborhood.
Right.
The person that maintains them is gone. So they do, most of the time the neighborhood will step up, especially the people on the cul-de-sac, realizing it's not doing them any favors to look at that every day, and will step up and do something. But we do have the occasional ones where it doesn't get done.
So your suggestion, Mayor and Mr. Aller, is to just keep an eye on those and periodically see which ones may not be maintained as well as we anticipated.
Let us do a little bit more research on it. That's just a starting point.
Okay.
I'm not ready to make a recommendation.
Fair enough.
So we see how big the problem is.
Okay. So we
I go up and down Erie Street and you don't see these. I didn't know there was a problem like that
right.
going on. I can imagine that there's some homeowners associations that when they started out, they collected dues and they took care of it, and then as those expired, like it has in Sylvan Square, that was the pool problem in Sylvan Square.
Right.
They don't have any cul-de-sacs, but the homeowners associations fall apart or lose their authority, and then there's a problem, and that could be what's going on.
Okay. Mrs. Hussman?
Yes, Mr. Aller, when we resurface a road where there's one of these cul-de-sacs, and maybe we don't do that often, but is there any thought to just getting rid of it and making it pavement?
It can be done. If you know, I'm not a big fan of pure pavement cul-de-sacs. I think the island adds a little bit something to it. I do think that they need to be maintained, though, or it become an eyesore.
Well, that would remove the maintenance part if it was all. It could be maintained just by sweeping the street and. Sometimes I think in
snowplow operators would love
and bus drivers, school bus drivers,
yeah.
And so there's a lot of reasons other, you know, if it's not being kept up, just to have it a flat surface so that buses and snowplows and whatever can get through. It's not a trip hazard and kids could ride their bikes in it. I mean, there's a lot, kind of a good, there's one at the end of my daughter's street in Cincinnati, and it's just plain. And it's a beautiful neighborhood, but they don't have that maintained. So
I live on one of those. It's a great place to throw a baseball.
Yeah.
It's what?
It's a great place to throw a baseball.
It is nice and open. It's easy basketball games,
yeah.
Things of that nature.
Yeah.
Yes, I would agree with that. If that is possible, but understand that also comes with a pretty hefty
to take it
price tag to remove and put asphalt and stone and everything back in.
thanks to the administration for taking a careful look at this and coming back with some additional thoughts. I know that you're thinking like this, Mr. Allen, because I think we've chatted a little bit. But certainly we don't want to make it the cul-de-sac so nice that everybody wants to stop maintaining their cul-de-sac to get whatever the city is doing. So I think something very simple and very basic would be good. And I don't certainly know whether actually getting rid of them makes sense. That certainly takes a lot of additional thought, but one more idea on the plate to consider.
Thank you very much. Anything else to come before the committee? If not, can I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second? We are adjourned at 6, 7 p.m.